Jesus had risen, and he took his disciples to Galilee, to a mountain. And he gave them the Great Commission. I want you to go. I want you to baptize people. I want you to teach people. But he said something very interesting when he said, I want you to baptize people. He said, I want you to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Why did Jesus mention all three names? Why didn't he just say, go and baptize people in the name of God? Jesus believed there was one God. His disciples believed there was one God. You read the whole Old Testament, it emphasizes there is one God. You read the New Testament, it emphasizes there is one God. But why did Jesus say, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? As I live in Taiwan and I tell people about Jesus Christ, I often refer to God, and they know that we Christians believe in one God. And then they hear me say that Jesus is God. And sometimes they're confused. Wait, you say that Jesus prayed to God, and now you say Jesus is God? I don't understand. Well, then I have to confess to them, I don't understand either. The Bible does not give a special name for this relationship among the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we Christians have come up with a name. We use the word Trinity. Now, some people say, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. You shouldn't use it. Well, would you rather that I say a paragraph every time I want to refer to this relationship? That would take too long. So we have come up with a word. We know the word is not in the Bible, but that word expresses what the Bible teaches. And so we Christians, whether we're in this country or another country, we use the word Trinity to talk about our God. We know there is one God. We know there is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you ask us to explain it, we often have difficulty. But just because we don't understand something doesn't mean we cannot believe it. I like listening to lectures on the internet, and I listen to things that I have never learned in school. And I have to confess, many times I don't understand what they're saying. But I believe it. If I can do that with something like chemistry or botany, why can't I do something like that with the Bible? God is amazing. He is much greater than we are. Why do we think that we can understand Him? I have trouble understanding a flower. I have trouble understanding a bee. Of course, I cannot understand God, but I can know Him. And the Bible tells us many things about God, and I can learn those things. What I have prepared for you today is a sheet with many Bible verses. Rather than approaching this topic from philosophy or from history or from theological ideas, I want to approach the Trinity from the Bible. We admit that God made us. We did not make God. We did not create the idea of God. No, God made us. He always has been around. He existed before there was our universe. He will exist forever. Now, the Bible says God created you and me after His image. And we like to say we are in the image of God. So in a certain degree, we are like God. But when I say that I am like God, that doesn't mean I'm the same. There are many, 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 many foundational ways where you and I are not like God. Like does not mean the same. How is God? What is He like? If you look on the left side of this page, you'll see some characteristics of God. God is eternal. He always has existed. He always will exist. You and I are not like that. There was a time when we began. With God, there was never a time when He began. He always has been. God is all-knowing. He knows everything, and I mean everything. Maybe you and I will meet someone that we think is very intelligent, and we say, wow, he knows everything. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. Even the most intelligent people do not know everything. Our knowledge is very limited. God is all-powerful. Can you imagine someone who can do anything? When you and I pray to God, sometimes we pray with passion. Oh God, would you please do such and such? Oh God, I have this need. And sometimes I hear Christians praying, and I wonder, do you realize who you are talking to? You are praying as if your request is hard for God to do. Really, as Christians, what we should do is come before God and say, I'm really sorry that I'm bringing a very tiny request that I know it's easy for you to do. Could you possibly bother yourself with this very tiny request? Every one of our requests in the sight of God is very tiny. What to us is gigantic, and we may even use the word impossible. No, with God is not merely possible, it is easy. The greater we understand God to be, the more faith we will have to approach God and pray. God is unchanging. Think about that for a minute. I don't think we actually fathom what unchanging means. God has always been good. Meditate on that. Always. And He always will be. When God says something, that is what will be true forever. People change. People change. Sometimes that's good, isn't it? Sometimes that's not good. But what we do know is that people change. You are changing every day. I am changing every day. Two people get to know each other and they change. And we say, that's wonderful, they're coming closer together. And then what happens? They change and they go apart. Oh, wait, you need to change and come back. We are always changing, learning new things, experiencing new things, meeting new people. We are always changing. God never changes. God is the creator. Now, we are similar to God in that we can take things that God has made and we can shape them into other things. We have inventors who invent all kinds of things. The people who invented the airplane, where did they get the idea of an airplane? They saw birds. And that's why our airplanes, to a certain degree, look like birds. But God created birds out of nothing. He just created them. Even the idea of flight, He created. We imitate God and create. That's not the same level of creation. God is omnipresent. Today, God is here with us. Right now, He's with us. Right now, He's with people in another country. Do you realize that God is just as close to you as you're sitting here as He is with you when you are in your house? He is just as close to you here as when you are at work. He is just as close here as when you are afraid. We as Christians don't need to go someplace to be near God. because God is everywhere. And we call God God because that is who He is. He has the nature of being God. He is eternal, all-knowing, all-powerful, unchanging. He is creator. He is omnipresent. And we call Him God. But as we read through the Bible, we find out that these characteristics are given to God the Father. These characteristics are given to God the Son, Jesus Christ. And these characteristics are given to the Holy Spirit. And so that's why we call God Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's look at Romans chapter 16, verse 26, here on your page. According to the commandment of the, who? Everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. In Isaiah 9:6, there's the prophecy of the Son that will be born, the Messiah that will come. And what is His name? His name shall be called the Everlasting Father. How can you call Jesus everlasting when He has a birth? Because Jesus existed before He was born. We always say Jesus came down from heaven and was born on earth. One time I was talking to someone and he said, "Oh, yeah, I know about your Jesus. He was so good He became God." I said, No. Jesus did not become God. Jesus became man. He always had been God, and He became human like us. And today, He still is God, He still is man. And the Holy Spirit, we see in Hebrews 9:14, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God. Father, Son, and Spirit are eternal. Let's look at all-knowing. Matthew 10 says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." All of the birds in the world, God knows about and pays attention to. He knows about every one of them. He knows about every one of our hairs. He is more knowledgeable about you than you are. He knows everything. In John chapter 21, Peter says to Jesus, "Lord, Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love Thee." Thou knowest all things. You know everything. You not only know what is happening that you can see, you know what's in my heart. Even though I did deny you three times, and it looks like I don't love you, no, you know that I actually do love you. You know that those three times were wrong, but they were moments of weakness. Really, in my heart, I do love you. You know everything. In 1 Corinthians 2, what does it say about the Spirit? "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man." You and I don't know everything about God. We don't know everything that God is doing. But who knows everything? The Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is different from us in that He knows everything. We don't. Now, we serve an all-powerful God. And Ephesians 1:19 says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power?" One time, a woman asked me, "Why do you have so much faith?" She said, when she thinks of God, she imagines Him as a tender little kitten sitting on her shoulder. And I thought to myself, if I imagined God to be a small kitten, I wouldn't have any faith either. The more we come to understand the limitlessness of God's power, the more our faith will grow. But in Philippians, it refers to Jesus as all-powerful. According to the working whereby Jesus is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Jesus is in charge of everything. If He can subdue everything, He is therefore all-powerful. Job 33 says, "The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life." God's Spirit is the Almighty Spirit. He's the one who has given us even life. He doesn't just help us in our lives. He started our lives because He can do anything. Malachi 3:6 says very simply, "For I am the Lord, I change not." That's very simple. We understand that. God does not change. Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." He doesn't change. As we come back to God again and again, perhaps in fear, perhaps in worry, perhaps in shame, perhaps in confession, we may worry that God has changed His attitude toward us. No, we have changed. Our faith has gone down. Our worry has risen. But God has not changed. God has not changed. He is still the same. Jesus doesn't change. In Matthew 12, Jesus says, "Whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." Why? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't change. If the Holy Spirit changed, then maybe what you could not receive forgiveness for now, maybe you could then. But this verse is underscoring, no, what is true today about the Holy Spirit will be true in the future, because the Holy Spirit does not change. The Creator. Genesis 1:1 says very simply, God created the heaven and the earth. Isaiah 44 says more, "Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and He that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself." God is saying, "I am the Creator." But the New Testament says about Jesus, "For by Him were all things created." Jesus made everything. Genesis 1:2 refers to the Spirit of God participating also in creation. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit created everything. God is everywhere. Jeremiah says, "Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him?" Do you remember the story of Jonah? He wanted to run away from God. Well, that's kind of funny when you really think about it. We have this tiny little earth in this giant universe, but God made the whole universe, and so the earth is even tinier to Him. And Jonah was running from Joppa to Tarshish. God saw everything. God saw everything. For you and for me, we know God is everywhere. On the one hand, that means that's an alert to us to do what is right and what pleases Him. On the other hand, that's a comfort. God is always with us. We cannot go away from Him. I love the verses that say, "Where shall I go from your presence? Where shall I go from your Spirit? If I make my bed in heaven, if I make my bed in hell, you're with me." I quote those verses many times when I ride on an airplane. You sit there and that airplane is full of power and it's taking off. And I don't understand all the forces that are involved in an airplane taking off. I do not understand them. But many, many times I've gotten on an airplane and the airplane has taken off and it has landed safely. And there have been times when I thought we would not land safely. That plane has shaken and shaken. But regardless where I am, on earth, in the sky, I know God is there with me. In the verses that we read, what did Jesus say? "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." No matter where you go, whichever country you go to, even an island far away from land, God is there. Jesus is there. Psalm 139. These are the verses that I like to quote. "Whither shall I go from thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." No matter where we go, the Holy Spirit is with us. Now, what's also significant is Father, Son, and Spirit are all called God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thomas says to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." And we know the story of Ananias and Sapphira. They gave a donation, and they didn't give all the money that they had received, and they lied. And so they were rebuked. "Why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" Who does it say they lied to? The Holy Ghost. But keep reading. "And to keep back part of the price of the land. Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto..." Who are they lying to? It says, God. If you lie to the Holy Spirit, you are lying to God. Now, I hope you can meditate on these verses. They show very clearly that the Father is eternal. They show clearly the Son is eternal in all of these qualifications. The Holy Spirit is eternal in all these other qualifications. We are not. We are not. We are not eternal. We are not all-knowing. We are not all-powerful. We are not unchanging. We are not creator. We are not omnipresent. We are not called God. But the Father is. The Son is. The Holy Spirit is. So in the future, I think people will ask you, "What is this Trinity that you talk about? I don't know what that means." What you tell them is, Trinity means there is one God. We read in the Bible, the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. And they may say, "Wait a minute, but that's three." And we say, "Well, I don't know how it can be that way, but I believe it is." Emphasize that you don't understand it either. If you meditated on it a long time and try to see how three and one can be three and one, one in three, I think you'll be confused. If you accept it, it's a great comfort. Does the Father love the Son? Yes, eternally. Does the Son love the Spirit? Yes, eternally. Does the Spirit love the Father? Yes, eternally. We can understand how God is love because we see how love is enjoyed among the Trinity. If God were not a Trinity, we may wonder, before God made us, who did He love? How do we know that God can love someone if He had no one to love? No, because there's a Trinity. The Father can love the Son and the Spirit. The Son can love the Father and the Spirit. The Spirit can love the Father and the Son. You have this eternal love in the Trinity. And so then after God made us, it was natural for God then to love us. I don't understand the Trinity, but I believe the Trinity. I don't understand God, but I believe God and I know God. We don't have to understand before we believe. We can begin believing in order to understand. I hope that you think about the Trinity as you read the whole Bible. And you will notice, the Trinity explains so many different passages in the Bible. The Father sent the Son. Yes, I can understand how you have the Father and you have the Son. The Son obeys the Father. Yes, I can understand that. The Father sends the Spirit. Oh, okay, I understand that. But then again and again in the Bible, and what we say to people who are not Christians, there is one God. There is just one God. We don't believe in three gods. There is only one God. And so when we sing the doxology, we do praise Him, one God, Him, one God, not them, right? We praise Him, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There is just one God. There are people in the church who will use philosophy to explain the Trinity. If that helps you, you can go read what they say. But sometimes when we read philosophy, we have trouble understanding it. That's why today I just wanted to present some verses. If you don't look at all of these verses, maybe you'll end up thinking only the Father is God and Jesus is not God. No, you have to believe that Jesus also is God. And then all these other verses show us the Holy Spirit is God also. We believe in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We may not know exactly how to say it. We may not even know how to understand it. But that's okay. We don't have to understand something to accept it. We don't have to understand something for it to be true. I just mentioned that I don't understand everything about how an airplane takes off. All the forces, all the processes, how an airplane is built. I don't know all of that. But I'm very happy to get on an airplane. And through my life, on many, 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 many occasions, I've arrived safely at my destination. I don't have to understand it, but I accept it. I trust in what all those people are doing on the airplane, and I arrive safely. God is even more amazing than an airplane. God is more amazing than the forces and laws that He has created for our universe. We need to come before Him and say, God, You're so amazing, I can't understand You, but I know You, and I respond to Your love for me and love You in return. Let's pray together. Oh God, You are amazing, and we don't even know how to express all that You are. But we're thankful that we can know You as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Today we respond to You in love. We respond to You in honor. We respond to You in worship. We respond to You in trust because of all that You have done for us. And we thank You in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.